Begin the current daf, Masechta Sechun, daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of Kuf Tes Zayin, my base, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which relates in a way to an element we mentioned in the previous Mishnah regarding a machlekes. We're going to bust some chalav. Does it apply to Chai and Oif, or does it exclude Chai and Oif? And related, at the end of our Mishnah, talks about that thing. But our Mishnah discusses a different halacha regarding prohibited elements of an animal. Says the Mishnah, there's one pasuk that actually includes the prohibited element of chalav, the forbidden fats of an animal, and its blood. On that, says the Mishnah, there's differentiations between the two of them. Chayme b'chalav mebedam, there are certain stringencies that apply to the forbidden fats more than that of the blood of an animal. V'chayme b'dam mebechalav, and there are certain stringencies that apply to the blood more than that applies to the forbidden fats. As the Mishnah explains, chayme b'chalav, the stringencies of the forbidden fats are shachalav, where the forbidden fats, as a ketintav of kovid zayin menalv, is moilin by, if the chalav is from a carbon, that those fats have a law of me'ila, which is that there's a law of misappropriation. If one has benefit from it, one has to then compensate hektish with a chaymish, and there's a carbon of me'ila, because the chaylev from the carbon is considered kodshei Hashem, the sanctified parts of Hashem, which don't go to the kohanim, they actually sacrifice on the mizbeach, and therefore it's considered designated for Hashem, which is where the laws of me'ila apply to. However, the blood of the animal, of the carbon, actually does not have me'ila, as the Gemara is going to explain. Moreover, there's a liability on the chaylev of a carbon, mishum pigel. Let's say when the kohen did avoid, he had a machshava of it being consumed chutzlis manoi, so the parts of the animal are now considered pigel, that includes the chaylev. The nicer, and if the animal is left over its designated time of being permitted to be consumed, there's a prohibition of nicer, it's on the chaylev too. And betameh, if the kohen eats it, if someone eats it in a state of ritual impurity, his own body is tameh, so he's liable to chatais for eating that chaylev. One, because it's chaylev, which is forbidden fats, and also because of that his body is tameh when he's eating kachim, which is a liability of karis, which the Mishnah says, Masha'inke b'dam, whereas these halachas do not apply to the laws of the dam of the carbon, as the Gemara is going to explain the reason. Now, b'chayme b'dam, is a certain stringencies applied to the blood, more than the chaylev, is shadam, because regarding the blood, the isser of consuming blood, noig b'behem b'chayvayf, applies to domesticated animals, wild animals, birds, all their bloods are forbidden. Bein t'meima bein t'ayma, whether it's kosher or not kosher. Whereas the forbidden fats only apply to kosher domesticated animals, as the pasuk says in Yikra Zayin, min the behema sheikriv memena, where it says the animal that you're going to sacrifice to Hashem, those chaylevs are forbidden to be eaten by a regular person. Now that's only by kosher behemas. There's no kosher chayis, and neither are there non-kosher behemas, and therefore that's a stringency the dam has over that of the chaylev. Says the Gemara Manan Emili. Where do we know the opening halacha of our Mishnah, which was talking about the first stringency, that of chaylev over dam, which was that the fats, the forbidden fats of an animal, has the halacha of me'ila. Now, our Mishnah does not differentiate whether it's the chaylev of kachim kalim or kachay kachim, which that's what the Gemara is asking regarding the forbidden fats, the chaylev, the emurim of kachim kalim, the lower level kachim, where there actually is no me'ila when the animal is still alive because the animal is considered mamam bialim, it's owned by the owner. It's not like kachay kachim. Now, that's what the Gemara is asking. This is something that none of the animal had me'ila. Now, but it sounds like that, but the emurim, the sacrificial parts, after the blood is thrown, then the chaylev, which is what the sacrificial parts are, which are burnt on the mizbeach, have me'ila. Where do we know that? How would we know that? Again, by kachay kachim, the whole animal always has me'ila. Kachay kachim kalim, like a shlamim, is owned by the owner, it has no me'ila. But we're saying that after the blood is thrown, and then these fats are being given to Hashem, then they have me'ila. How would we know that? So Amar Biatna, he says, because the Amakra, pasuk says in the Yikra, and this pasuk is by talking about by the emurim, the sacrificial parts, which are the fats of the par kai mashiach, which is when the kohen gadol has to bring a carbon. So it says over there in the pasuk, kasha yuram mishar zevach hashlamim, just like it's elevated, you take off this emurim from the ox of the from the bull of the carbon shlamim, and you sacrifice it to the kohen sacrifice on the mizbeach. So too, that's how you have to do by the emurim by the par kai mashiach. Now the question is, what exactly are we learning from the bull of the carbon shlamim that you're saying, whatever we explained over there, those emurim by the shlamim, so too you have to go ahead and separate it over here by the parakai mashiach. What do you mean? It already says explicitly in the pasuk regarding the parakai mashiach, as the chelav v'mchas as a karev, v'es kala chelav, v'shtei aklois. It already says that you have to do all the emurim. What are we comparing and learning out from the carbon shlamim? So actually says the Gemara, hari zebol alamid. It sounds like from the pasuk as if the Karbon Shlomim is coming to teach us something regarding the Parakah Mashiach. But V'nimtza Lama, it actually comes out that it's actually being taught too. It's actually learning from the Parakah Mashiach. And that is Makish Shur Zevach HaShlom LaParakah Mashiach. We are equating in the Pasig the Karbon Shlomim to the Parakah Mashiach, meaning from the Parakah Mashiach. And that is Ma Parakah Mashiach Yesh B'Me'ilo, just like by the power of the Kohen Gadol. And he has to bring his own carbon. That there's me'ila by the emurim, because when the animal's still alive, the whole carbon has me'ila, because it's kachi kachim. So for sure, it's sacrificial parts. It has me'ila. So, and then the pasuk is comparing it to kashayurim regarding the emurim. Av shor zevach hashlam yesh me'ila. It's telling us that so too the carbon shlamim also has me'ila on its fats. You're right, the rest of the carbon doesn't have. That's that before it was slaughtered, it was the owners, and afterwards it goes to the cattle, to the owners. But the emurim, they're going to have me'ila. We learn it out from the Parakah Mashiach. That's how we know this halacha, that chaylev has me'ila, even regarding kachim kal. However, Amalei Reb Chanina asked Rabbi Yanai, Ku'uruzu Shoshana Rebbe, it's repulsive to you, that which Rebbe had taught, which he already has a source for this halacha. Pasuk says to Yikra, Kol chaylev la'Hashem, all the fats go to they go to Hashem. Now that pasuk is talking about that sacrificing the emurim on the mizbech, and that pasuk is by kachim kalim, by the lower level karbanos. Now that's why it says la'Hashem, to say that they're called kachim Hashem in regards to the law of me'ila. That's why, meaning it belongs to Hashem, which is that, well, that's what me'ila is, misappropriating, taking what belongs to Hashem and taking it for oneself. L'rabbis emuri kachim kalim me'ila, says Rabbi, that this is teaching you that the sacrificial parts of even kachim kalim have a law of misappropriation. So why do you have to teach a different law from this pasuk of kashayur mishor zevach hashlam from parakoyin mashiach? So Amar Abayi says itzrach. No, it was necessary. The two teachings. The ikas rachman the chaylev, had we only had the teaching of Rabbi that we learned it out from the fats, sahavamin the chaylev in, I would have thought, okay, what is considered having me'ila? There's different parts of sacrificial parts. Fats are just part of them. So I would say that's where there's me'ila. That's where it says Lashem. But Yiseris Ushtei Klo Yisloi, the other sacrificial parts are not fats. They're the diaphragm, they're the two kidneys, they're not considered chaylev. I would say maybe there's no me'ila. Kasa Rachmana, Kasha Yurim, that's what we need the other pasuk that is teaching regarding all the emurim. We're comparing when it says Kasha Yuram, Mishra Zevach Hashlamim, it's the emurim that are elevated, that are separated, that are said to be sacrificed to the Parakah Mashiach, that includes even the Yiseris Ushtei Klo Yis. Now, because Rachman the Kashayurim, had we only had the teaching of Rabbi Yanai from Kashayurim, Sahavimina, I would have said that Chelav Aliyah, but regarding the fats of the tail, the lesser Bishar, which that doesn't apply, that's not sacrificed by the bull, that loy, I would actually say that there wouldn't be any me'ilo when you bring a keves, a lamb, for a carbon shlamim, because by a lamb, the tail, its fats are sacrificed. Now, I would say it's not included because if I only had that pasuk is saying by shayr, kashayur mishayr zavach hashlam, the shayr doesn't have that chaylev of the aliyah. Kasta rachman, the kol chaylev, that's why we needed the teaching of Rebbe that says all fats are la'Hashem, even by kachim kalim, which that pasuk is talking about, and we find that the aliyah is called, the fat of the aliyah is called chaylev, as we find in Yikra Gimel, chelbo he'aliyah tamima, the fats of the intact tail, that is called chaylev, and that's how we know to include that too in this halacha of me'ila, even for kachim kal. Now, however, on this answer, the Gemara asks Amalei Rav Mari Rav Zvid. He says, "I alya ikri chaylev." But then, if the fats of the tail are called chaylev, then titzer, then all the tails of lambs should be forbidden ba'achil to be eaten, because that's actually the source of where we compare what type of chaylev forbidden to be eaten are those which are sacrificed on the mizbech. And you're saying that that's considered chaylev that's on the mizbech and that has halach of me'ilah, so it's called chaylev, so then should be forbidden to be eaten. On that, Amalei says to him, no, lechem akra, regarding your point, the pasuk says in the Yikra, when the pasuk says, kol chaylev shor v'chesev v'eiz, all the fats of the bull, of the lamb, of the goat, says there, lo techeilu, you shouldn't eat it. What that's telling us is the isur chaylev of eating for a commoner from any animal is davah hashava b'shor v'chesev v'eiz. It says all those three, that's only something that's equal by the bull, the lamb, and the goat. Only that type of fats which are sacrificed by all three of them is what the Torah said is forbidden to be eaten. But the chaylev of the aliyah does not apply, not by the bull and not by the goat, and therefore its chaylev is not forbidden to be eaten, although it is sacrificed and called chaylev to be eaten by a person. Another interpretation, and the Gemara answers, Rav Ashi, he says, and the Gersa takes out the vav, chelboi ha'aliyah ikri, meaning You're right. The fat of the tail is called chaylev, but it's not called fat. It's called the fat of the tail. It's called chaylev stamal ha'ikra. It's not called just generic fat. So therefore, it's not included in the issur of the Torah that says don't eat their fat, because those fats are only those things that are called chaylev. Here it's called chaylev ha'alya. Chaylev ha'alya is a different designation, different terminology, and therefore that's not included in the issur chaylev. From that is the Gemara. If that's the case, then lo yimalo ba. Then there shouldn't be the issur of misappropriation either, because where do we know the halacha mila we said before? Which actually is where we said we even know the chaylev ha'alya, is because it says kol chaylev la'ashem. We said, why do you need that? You already know from the other halacha of kasha, your mishra zavach ha'shalom. We said, oh, we wouldn't have known regarding the chaylev ha'alya. But you're saying it's not called chaylev. So then, back to the question. So then, why is there me'ila? So el mechvarta, because Rav Zvid read this, says Gemara, you're right. It's clear we can't say like this interpretation of Avashi. We have to say like the first interpretation of Zvid from the other pasuk, where it has to be something equal to be shayr and the kevis and the eis, which only those types of fats that are sacrificed in the mizbeach, by all of them, is forbidden to be eaten, and that of the tail doesn't apply to the shayr and the eis, and therefore it's not forbidden to be eaten by a person. Now, the Mishnah had said that these halachas that are stringencies by the chaylev, which are that there's halacha of me'ila by chaylev, and that there's pigul nois and tummy, are mash'inkim adam, that do not apply by the blood. So there's the Gemara Manan Mili, where do we know this from, starting with the first halacha, that there's no me'ila, misappropriation from the blood of the carbon, although seemingly it should have the same halacha, that these are things that are from a carbon, that there should be me'ila. So Amauli says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Vayikra, that it says over there, Vanina Sativ, that I gave you lachem to you, as the Pasuk says, on the altar, that the blood is to atone for you on your souls, because the primary kapara of a carbon is the blood. But the terminology of lachem, Hashem says, I gave it for you, is shalachem yehei, is telling that for you it should be. Meaning, it's yours, not mine. It's not considered kachi gevaya to have halacha of me'ila. The Beis Shmuel Tana, he says from that same Pasuk, it says that I gave it to you on the Mizbeach, lachaper, to atone, which is lachapar nasatav. What did I give you the blood for? As an atonement. V'loy l'me'ila, but not as me'ila. Meaning, not that it should be considered mine for misappropriation, because it's only considered that it should be for atonement for you, and it doesn't have any other halachas like for me'ila. A third interpretation, he says, Amakra, the Pasuk says over there, when it says, Ki adam hu banefesh, the end of the Pasuk says, the reason why is because the blood is in the soul is what atones. The wording hu sounds like what's called Bahavayasi Yehe. It is what it is, and it always will be like that. That teaches us, so hu lifnei kapara, kalacha kapara, that the blood before even the atonement is, when it's definitely considered belonging to Hashem, but it's the same thing as it's going to be after the atonement. Once you already gave the matnas dam on the mizbeach, and then you have the leftovers, so that's because it's hu, it should always be the same. Now, malacha kapara imba me'ila, just like after the atonement, after the blood is already thrown that's required, there's no more me'ila in the leftovers, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, because there is nothing that once you did the mitzvah, that there should still be halacha me'ila applying to it, because the obligations to Hashem had already done. So it's not considered kach Hashem anymore to have me'ila. So that's also telling us that af lefnei kapara imba me'ila. So to even before the atonement, which seemingly then it's still belonging to Hashem, then no, who is telling us he can't differentiate and therefore there's not going to be me'ila even before him. But I ask him, why? The aim is say who, that it should always be the same. Maybe say the other way around. Say la'acha kapara ke lefnei kapara. Maybe say after the atonement should be like just like before the atonement. And ma lefnei kapara yesh me'ila, just like before the atonement, for sure there should be me'ila because it's the blood is designated as the primary thing that's put on the mizbech. If anything, that should be considered kacha gevaya. So maybe say av la'acha kapara yesh me'ila. So to after the atonement, it's actually a stringency, not a leniency, should always be me'ila even after the atonement. Says the Gemara, no. There's nothing that once you did the required mitzvah, that there should still be me'ila. And therefore, since we know for sure la'acha mitzvah, there's no me'ila, so even before the matnas dam, the pasuk says hu, to tell us that even beforehand, the blood will not have me'ila if one utilizes it for his own purposes to be liable for me'ila. And that is the Gemara of Eloi. Is there nothing that once you did the mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash or the Avodah applying to it, that it should still have me'ila? But Vare Trumas Hadeshen, you have the halacha of Trumas Hadeshen, which every single morning they would take off a portion, a truma, from the deshen, which are the ashes of the mizbeach, a shovelful, and they would put on the side of the mizbeach, which would be absorbed over there on the floor of the in the azar. As the pasuk says, Vehemas Hadeshen, Ashtech Leish, he would take off a shovelful and put on the side. So whatever required mitzvah was necessary with those ashes were already done with it. And yet, if someone would use those ashes on the floor, he would be committing me'ilah. Like it says in Pasuk in says, that it has to put it there near the altar, which teaches us that it has to be placed there and it has to be buried over there. Obviously, because you can't use it, it's forbidden to have benefit, even though the mitzvah was already done with it. Says the Gemara, you're right. Although there you do see an exception, but you can't learn from there. Why? Because you have this halach of Trumas Hadeshin and the Kohanic garments, which is referring to the four white garments that the Kohen Gadol would use when he went into the Kodesh Kodashim in Yom Kippurim, which those four garments have to be hidden forever. And a common Kohen Hedjit cannot use those four garments, and neither could the Kohen Gadol use it in the following year, like the Pasuk says, that he would take off those linen garments, and v'nichem shem, he would leave it over there, and it has to be left over there forever. So you have Shnei Gesum Abom Kecha, you have two psukim saying the same idea, that you have something you really did the mitzvah, but still it's forbidden to be used, that there's still me'ilah. And whenever you have two psukim saying the same idea, to the contrary, you cannot learn that from over there. And that tells us that actually in general, when the mitzvah was already done, there's no me'ilah. Here, when you have two exceptions, if it was telling us that you should learn from this, say once, and we learn that from there. If you're saying it two times, obviously, to the contrary, it's saying that those are the exceptions, and you don't learn that from there. But that is the Gemara, Hanich L'Rabbanan. This that we're saying that there's two exceptions is only according to Rabbanan, the Amri, that they interpret the Pasuk when the Kohen Gadol takes off those four linen garments and it says Vanichim Shem, he leaves it over there. They say Malamed Shetunim Geniza. That teaches he has to leave it there. No one's allowed to use it. It has to be buried over there. So yeah, you see two psukim saying the same idea. Even though the mitzvah is done, there's still me'ilah. But El Rav Daisa Dama that he says, it's actually valid for a Kohen Hedjit who also has four white garments to use the holy year, because a Kohen Hedjit uses the same four garments, because the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear his eight Kohanic garments when he goes into the Kazer Kachem. And so what does it mean, Vanichim Shem, the Kohen Gadol has to leave it over there? That just teaches Shalei Shtamash Ben Liyam Kippurim Acher, that the Kohen Gadol himself cannot use it the following year, but it could still be utilized by a Kohen Hedjit. So Michael, man, what are you going to say? You don't see over there a second pasuk saying the same idea as Trumas Hadeshin. So you still have one pasuk. So maybe you should learn now from Trumas Hadeshin that even though mitzvah was done, there's still me'ilah. So Eli Rather says the Gemara, no, you're right. According to him, you would have to say Mishum Dehavi Trumas Hadeshin the Egla Rufa, because you have the halach of Trumas Hadeshin and the decapitated calf, which is when they find someone who died and they don't know who killed them. So there, even though the mitzvah was done of decapitating the calf, that calf is still forbidden to have benefit from it. As the pasuk says, Va'orf Rusham, you decapitate over there, which the Gemara Krisa says, Sham take for us, so that's why it has to be buried, it has to be kept over there, no one could use it. We're snakes, now you have two psukim saying the same idea, where even though the mitzvah is done, there's still an issur of having benefit from it. Now, we have two psukim teaching the same idea, you can't learn from there, and therefore, again, those are the exceptions. But the Gemara still asks, and that's only good according to the one who says, as we say this many times to Shas, that you can't learn out from Tupsukim. According to the one that says you could learn out even from Tupsukim, a halocha that they say, what are you going to say? Learn from there, even though the mitzvahs were done, that there's still me'ilah. Says the Gemara, no, because Trey has a continuum at Beis, mi'utik sivi. There's two exclusionary terminologies, meaning even according to the one who holds in general, you could learn out from Tupsukim. These you can't learn out from because the psukim themselves are excluding, which are saying, no, that these are the only contexts that you'll say once the mitzvah is done, it's the me'ilah, but in general not. Because hachiksev in the pasuk over by the Trumas Hadeshin says, v'samai, place it. Only here do you have an iser me'ilah even after the mitzvah is done. Hasam ksiv ha'rufa, there it says, the decapitated one, which tells us only over here is going to be the halacha, but in general, you're not going to have that halacha. And therefore, that's what we're saying over here, that once the mitzvah is done, if you're learning off from who, that there's no difference by the blood before and after, you have to say that the blood is permitted after. And therefore, we're equating, you're going to say the blood before and is also, and that's how we know there's no Isra Me'ila by the blood in general at all. But now the Gemara asks, so we had three interpretations, three psukim. One said from lachem, which means that it should be yours. One said lachaper, it's only for atonement, not for me'ilah. And the other one said who, it's always going to be the same. Why do I need three psukim teaching the permissibility of the blood? If it's only teaching regarding me'ilah, you would only need one pasuk, not three psukim. So says the Gemara, you're right. It's actually teaching regarding all the halachas we said that has stringencies that has chaylev over dam. Because chad, lemu'utim and nicer. Actually, one of them is coming to exclude that of nicer. Where if, let's say, the carbon was left over its designated time, and by mistake, he erred in the fact that it's prohibited because of blood, and he erred in the fact because it's prohibited because it was left over, and he eats it, he's only going to be liable for the element of blood, and not for the element of nicer. There's no iser nicer that applies to the dam of the carbon. The chad, and one of them is lemutim me'ilah, like we were saying up until now. One of them excluding, there's no prohibition of me'ilah regarding that adam. And the other one is excluding if the kohen ate that dam in a state of ritual impurity, the only liability he's going to have is because it's dam, but not because of eating a carbon in the state of tumah. Now, avam mipigal, but the other element that we said that chelav has over dam, loy tzarach kra, we don't need a pasuk to exclude dam from the lach of pigal. Because if the carbon was pigal and he ate from the blood of that carbon, it's obvious to us that there's not going to be a isser of pigal regarding the dam. Why? And therefore, we don't need a pasuk to tell us that. It's not because we learned the Mishnah Masechta the Zvachim. Mishnah says, kol sheyesh lematirin, whatever has that something else is permitting it. Bain, whether it's permitting it la'adam for a person like the meat of a regular carbon, where the throwing of the blood in the mizbeach is what permits the kahanim to eat the meat. You can't eat it until the blood is thrown. Ubain, or whether something has permitters lemizbeach, that now it could be sacrificed on mizbeach, but not for a person. Like, for example, the carbon oil. We're throwing the blood of the oil is what permits the sacrificial parts to be sacrificed in mizbeach, because as long as you didn't throw the blood, the limbs are not sacrificed. Like the pasuk says in Vayikra Yudzayin, after it says, v'zarak ha-kohen ha-sadam al mizbeach Hashem, only then does it say, v'hiktor ha-chelev l'reich nichayach. So only then when that element, whatever it is, the meat of the carbon or the sacrificial parts that have other things that permit it to be done, only those things chayav nilav mishum pigal. Only those things, if the kohen had a machshava of pigal during one of the four avodas of the blood of the carbon, then after, so the carbon became pigal, then after someone ate from the meat, which was permitted through the throwing of the blood, or from the sacrificial parts, where that was also permitted through the throwing of the blood, then someone who eats from that is going to be liable for karas. But anything else which doesn't have something else that permits it, rather it itself is the permitter. For example, the dam, the blood of a carbon, or the kaimitz of a mincha, or the k'tiris, or the mincha of a kan, which is totally burned, there is no liability of pigal. Because the primary halach of pigal is learned from the carbon of shlamim. And from there we learn now, just like by shlamim that has permitters where part of it is eaten by a person, part of it is eaten by mizbeach, then you're going to be liable for pigal, so to anything that has that. But here the blood, gufei matahu, it is the permitter, nothing else permits it. If anything, it permits other things, and therefore it's not included in the halach of pigal anyway, and therefore you wouldn't need a pasuk to exclude it, and that's how we know these halachas that apply to chelev and do not apply to dam. Hanulach Kalabasa, we shall return to the 8th parak of Masechta Schul and parak Kalabasa, which discuss primarily the laws of basa b'chalav, the forbidden mixture of meat and dairy. And with that, we begin the 9th parak of Masechta Schul and parak Ha'orva Reitiv, which discusses primarily the laws of Tumas Eichlin, Tumas Nevelis, which continues on the topic of this Masechta Schul regarding regular halachas of animals and it's the parts of that animal regarding its food elements. So the Mishnah says, Ha'or, regarding the skin, the hide of an animal that was slaughtered, for example, if let's say there's less than an olive, less than an egg size, a kabeya of meat, which that's the minimum measurement of conveying tumah, of tumas eichlin, which a food item could become tummy and then transmit tumah to other things, and the skin is connected, is attached, as that's that the skin is attached to the meat, to the flesh. Now, that skin will supplement for the shear of a kebeya to combine, and the reason why it is because it's what's called a shamer. It's what protects the meat, and the Gemara will learn out that a shamer could combine, at least for what, as our Mishnah will explain, of a tumah kala, a lower level tumah, that of tumas eichlin, which cannot contaminate people, which are only contaminated from an av, and these things are things that are a rishon. So the skin, the horativ and the gravy, which in itself is not a food item, to be able to be makabel tumah by itself, but again, it will combine to supplement and to complete, because since it is normal to eat it when it's congealed on the flesh, so we consider it as secondary, as a tuffle to the flesh, and to combine with it. So to vahakipa, which are the spices that, the sediments that fall onto the bottom, they themselves are not considered a significant food item, but they do combine together with the meat. And va'alal, which I'm going to explain what exactly that is, which are some small little pieces of the flesh, v'atzamis, and the bones, which have inside marrow, which the marrow is food item, which is eaten. The bone is what is a shamer to it, is what protects it, and therefore combines with the marrow, again, to be to have the shear of tumas eichlin, which is a kebeya, and v'agidin, and the tendons, v'akarnayim, and the horns, which Shigmo will explain. When we talk about the horns, we mean wherever a person would cut by the horns and blood would come out, which is by the root of the horn on the bottom, which that's where it's soft. But it itself, even there where it's soft, is not considered a food item, but again, it will combine with the meat that it's connected to. And matlofim, and the hooves of the animal, which are also not edible food items, but again, they're ashamed, they protect the meat, Therefore, as the Mishnah tells us, mitzdarfen l'tamei tumas eichlin, all the things that we just discussed, they all combine to convey the tuma of food items, which is, again, if a food becomes tummy, to transmit tumma to other things, it has to have a minimum share of a kebeya. So if the meat is less than that, but these elements add to that and make it into the share of the size of an egg, it will transmit tumma to other things. Avaloi tumas nevelas. But this is not the case in regarding to supplementing for the tumma of a nevela, which is, let's say, these elements, let's say the hooves, the horns, or whatever it is, are from an animal that died without being slaughtered. They will not transmit tumma, and they do not combine for the share of a kezias, which is the share by nevela of an olive, not like a kebeya of food items, to supplement the share of a nevela to transmit tumma, as we learn in the Brisa that finds Zayin Mabez, where the pasuk says, benivlosa, as we're actually going to quote that same pasuk later on, that tells us only in the nevela, that's where the tumma of nevela is, meaning in the carcass, in the flesh, but not in the bones, and not in the tendons, and not in the skin. Even though these elements are all shemer, are all protectors, there's no halacha of shemer combining for the more severe tumma of nevela, as the Gemara is going to explain. And therefore, the same thing applies to the sediments and to the gravy. They're also not the nevela itself. And regarding the olol and the gidim, the tendons, they're not basar. Now, although we said in the first halacha that they're considered food items to connect and combine with the basar regarding tumas eichlin, but they're not part of the basar, and therefore they will not combine for the halacha of tumas nevelas. Says the Mishnah Kayetzer, but you have similarly, it's a similar type of halacha that differentiates that something will convey the tumma of food items to be makabel tumma from a sheretz when you have one of the dead eight vermins that the Torah mentions, which will transmit tumma of food items to other things, but it will not transmit the tumma of nevelas to make other things tummy. For example, Hashechet behema tmeya lo'evikacham, if someone slaughters a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew. Now, this case is very specific. It has to be a Jew. It has to be that he's slaughtering. It has to be that it's a non-kosher animal. And it has to be done for a non-Jew. So we're talking about a case that a Jew slaughtered a non-kosher animal for the utility of a non-Jew. Now, it is still umar fecheses. The animal is still in the throes of death. It's still thrashing around. Now, although generally that's not helpful for a non-Jew regarding the Isra of Eva Menachai, which he can't eat from the animal until it's dead, because regarding a non-Jew, B'nai Nayach, for them the permissibility is when the animal is dead. Slaughtering won't help for the halacha of Eva Menachai until it's literally dead. Even so, that's why the case here is very important. Since a Jew slaughtered the animal, and it's a bona fide slaughtering as a Jew could slaughter. Now, we find by a Jew that the slaughtering is what permits the animal when he's slaughtering a kosher animal. That is not anymore Eva Menachai, even though it's still in the throes of death. So therefore, the Jew's thought process that this is going to make this food into a food item because he's slaughtering it will even help for a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew. And because whatever works for a Jew is definitely going to work as a permissibility for a non-Jew. And therefore, metama tumas eichlin. Therefore, in this case, although it's not really dead and therefore it shouldn't be considered a food item, it should still be considered an animal. But in, like we described in this specific case, it will already transmit the tumma of food items. But again, if the non-Jew had slaughtered it, then his thought process would not make it into a food item because we don't find slaughtering relevant regarding a non-Jew. And also, if let's say the Jew wouldn't have done slaughtering, but rather what's called nechira, just torn out the pipes, that wouldn't make it into a food item because we don't find nechira helping by a Jew. As we learn actually in the Brisa later on that says that if nechira is done, which just is tearing out the pipes, not really slaughtering, so then it doesn't have a tumma of anything, not of a tumma seichlin, because it's not considered a food item yet. And regarding a kosher animal for a Jew, that obviously we wouldn't have to say in the Mishnah, because obviously that's going to be considered a food item right away when it's slaughtered. And moreover, we didn't have to say we couldn't say a non-kosher animal for a Jew, because that wouldn't make it into food item, because that type of thought process is nullified, because generally a non-kosher animal is not slaughtered for a Jew. So that's why it was very case-specific that we're saying that here you could have a case that this animal, when it's still in the throes of death, will have already the halacha being metamei tumas eichlin. Meaning if it had the tummy of a sheretz on it, avolay tumas nevelas, but it will not transmit the tumma of a nevela in this current state, even though it's dead because it was slaughtered, but it's not dead yet. It's still in the throes of death. Acha tumas, until it literally dies, like the pasuk says in Mikir Dalf, v'chiyamis min ha-mehema. When the animal dies, then it's a nevela. Oh, yachiyatis is reishor, they literally chop off its head, which that's what's called in halacha as gistera, where although it could still be throwing in the throes of shaking around, it's totally dead. Even if it's mefrachesis, because the head is off. And therefore, that would already be considered nevela. Here you have similar, like a differentiation as we had in the first halacha, that regarding all those things that we said will apply by Tumas Eichlem and not by Tumas Avelis. Here also you have another halacha that this unique case that will apply by Tumas Eichlem but will not apply by Tumas Avelis. So the Mishnah sums it up when it says Reba, the Pasuk has therefore increased Latama Tumas Achelin regarding the elements that will be relevant for Tuma of food items in that unique halacha of the Tuma of food items, which is its own halacha when the food item gets Tuma from something else like a Sheretz. Mimash Reba Latama Tumas Nabel is more than what it had included regarding that intrinsic halacha of when something is dead, which these elements, let's say, are part of the dead things, that it's not going to have the Tumma on the Velis. We have all these cases where regarding the halacha of food items, we consider it a food item, but we don't consider it as Nevela, even though it would seemingly be relevant. So you see that there's more that's related to Tumas Eichlin. Rabbi Hudaim, he disagrees with one halacha of the Tanakama. He says, Ha'alol, this that we spoke about this case of Al, which we said is not relevant regarding Nevela. So he says, Hamakunis, if these, as we'll describe in the Gemara, all is these small little pieces, he says if they're gathered into one place, so since it's in what's called halacha achshavei, he made it significant because he gathered it all together, so then it's not nullified. And then in halacha, that meat will be considered like meat of the nevela. So he says, therefore if there is an olive size of that all in one place, chayav olav, then there would be a liability, we would consider it as meat from a nevela, and therefore, like the tumah of nevela, if someone touches that gathered ol, and it goes into the base of Mikdash or eats kachem, then he would be liable as one is from the tumah of nevela. Says the Gemara, regarding the opening halachas of our Mishnah, Tanina, this that we learned in the Mishnah, that the skin of the animal itself, it will combine for the laws of Shema regarding Tumah Kala, but will not combine for the size of a kezayis for the element of halach of Tumah of Nevela, even though that there's Shema for that, supports Lahadatan Rabban, this that we learn in the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Shema, there is the law of protectors L'Tumah Kala. For the lesser type of Tumah, which is when they're protectors of a food item, they'll combine for the measurement of a kebeah of an egg size for the halach of Tumas Eichon. But, however, v'loy shemim l'tumah chamur, but there is no law of protectors to combine for the more severe tumah to be the shir b'kezayis of a nevela, which is a more severe tumah, like we said, because that could transmit tumah even to a person or to vessels, because that's an avatum in contrast to tumah seichem, which is a rishon, cannot contaminate adam mekelim, so therefore that's considered a tumah kala, this is a tumah chamura. That's like what we learned in the Braisa, that there is no halach of shemim for tumah chamur. So the Gemara wonders for the source of this. Shem l'tumah kala min olam. Where do we know that there is the law of protectors that they do combine with, even though they're not a food item themselves, but for the measurement of a kebeya, when it's the lesser tumah of tumas eichlin? The Tana de Bishmal, as we learned in the Braisa, the Shivir Bishmal. It's a pasuk in Yikra that's talking about tumas eichlin, right? The tumah of food items becoming susceptible to tumah. So the pasuk is in Yikra that says that if the nevela, if the dead carcass will fall, I'll call zera zirua on any planted seed, which the pasuk continues, Asher Yizara, which will be planted. Now, in actuality, although that pasuk is actually talking about the purity of the food item, that only explains Rashi, because that pasuk is talking about that it wasn't yet Hochshul Kabbatumah, it didn't become susceptible, it didn't come in contact with any one of the seven liquids yet. But the pasuk afterwards continues on this theme and describes, but Tzachiyut Mayim Azara, if water is put onto the seeds, which then it's susceptible to Tumah, then it does become Tummy. So this pasuk is part of the context of what type of food items that we're talking about could become tummy. But one thing we see is that it describes it asher yizareya, which will be planted. And that's the type of seed, type of food and matoma that could become makabel tuma. So we see kederech shebnei adam mitzim lizri. We see we're describing a food item of becoming tummy, the way people usually take out that seed, that food item, to be planted. Because it's saying asher yizara. Now what that teaches us is that means to say that the halach of Kabbalah's tuma will combine when it's chita bikli pasa, when you have the wheat in its shell, in its husk, which that's the protector for the food item, which that's the outer husk, which covers over the shabaylis, the grain and the stalk, because in contrast, that which only comes off when they're threshing, when they're banging in the mortar, that's actually considered a real bona fide food item, as the Mishnah says later on Kofi Tesma Beis, the Malayan that's in the shibalim, that's not a shamer, but this other part, the outer husk, that's a shamer. And so too, v'sa'ur b'klipas, or the barley in its husk, v'adashim b'klipas, or the lentils in its husk. Again, that's the outer shell of the lentil, which is hidden inside of that, where people are not particular if it's on when they're going to plant. They're only particular, they don't want it on when they're eating. Now, that's where the pasuk says, asher yizareya, to tell you that this halacha b'mekabel tumah is even in the way it is, in the way it's planted, which is, it's planted where it's shomer, and you see that that's part of the shear of being mekabel tum. However, says the Gemara, and this that we said, v'loy shomer tum chamur minol, and how do we know, but regarding the severe tum of, let's say, of nevela, that then the shomer will not combine? So says the Gemara, turn around, let me learn the braisa. The Pasuk says, later on, says that if it's going to die from an animal, which is normally for yours for eating, but now it died and it wasn't slaughtered, so whoever touches benivlasa in its carcass, then he's going to be tummy until the evening. What that teaches, why did it say benivlasa? Why didn't you just say it? We have to say nivlasa, is to tell you only the meat itself, but not if it's the skin, if it doesn't have an olive size of meat, of flesh, well, that's not going to have the halacha of Tumas Nevelis. So you see explicitly when it says Nevelis, it's coming to exclude these Shemim that they're not including the halacha being Mitzarev of combining for the shear of the Tumah Chamur of Nevela, of adding it for the shear of Kezais. And the Brisa continues on the next daf. We'll continue, but that's the primary source that the Gemara wants from this Brisa to teach that differentiation that the Brisa teaches, and what's obvious from the halacha of our Mishnah, that the halacha of Shemim combining is only by the Tumah Kal of Tumas Eichlin, but not by the Tumah Chamur of Nevelis.